And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the world and around the country, we're Red Eye Radio. Around the United States of America.
The universe.
We are Red Eye Radio. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. You can listen when and where you want, wherever you are. Somebody did that on TV the other day. Someone just said, the United States of America, and they said it in a powerful way. I got the chills.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was watching the other day, but I went, whoa. It was just said so powerful, and I'm like, that's an impressive name. When you have a good voice say it, the United States of America, and it's like,
yeah,
I like that. That sounds good. That does sound powerful, does it not?
Well, it really does. You need somebody like a, you know, especially when like someone like a Sam Elliott says it.
Yeah.
The United States of America. And it's just like, holy cow, that sounds great.
I'm not screwing with them. Oh, wait a minute. Biden's the president? Okay, screw with them.
Exactly.
But I heard it the other day. I just can't remember what it was. And I just went, man, that sounded powerful. It was like, whoa, I got that little... It's like, whoa, chills and a little emotional. So, that's me, though.
You kind of get this
I do, unfortunately.
Mental picture of a superhero.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na. We're all superheroes, Gary. Okay, I'm just joking. Most of us aren't.
Normal people.
Yeah, that's what we are.
Normal people doing their job every day and doing it well are the superheroes.
Yeah, we got
because they haven't quiet quit yet.
Exactly, they're going to work.
They're going to work.
They're doing things. it's like the Buttigieg comment on, you know, too many white construction workers, and I thought to myself, you know, it must be weird to live in that place in your mind where all you see is skin color. Because when I see any construction worker, I think to myself, thank God there are people that are willing to do those jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I'll drive by a number of work sites where roofers in Texas are up there at 100 degrees, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, swinging a hammer. And they're going to be there tomorrow and the following day. And if the weather's good, the following day. In fact, if you think about it, they only work when the sun is beating down on them.
Exactly.
That's mind-boggling to me.
Or I've always, you know, I have such a great deal of respect for the workers on road repair or building but the workers that are out there repairing the roads.
Yeah.
And I think about it, I really, really think about it in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're out there dressed to the hilt, and they're, you know, they're, and I'm just like, wow. I will say this, though. I do think that it's, maybe I shouldn't be inclusive to all human beings, but my personal experience from working in industry and, you know, working at a steel mill and working as a machinist and doing working in front of a heat treat furnace and everything else and doing all of that really for roughly a 3-year period after college, 3 to 4 years it was, to me benefited me in ways,
yeah,
that are totally positive, totally, yeah, positive. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, maybe it wasn't a dirty job, because the one I like with Mike Rowe the best is the one where, okay, we go down and we actually clean the huge septic tanks, or, you know, the sewage treatment plant. Yeah. We put on the hazmat suits and do it, and then these people come out and they're the happiest people in the world. It's like, we find they really love their job. No, because that's really a, oh, I can't say the word, job, yeah, an S, yeah, job.
Yeah, it's, yeah,
that is a manure job.
I went on a fishing trip with my brother-in-law recently. He's got his own business where he hauls dirt and rock for construction. He's done this since he was a teenager. He's 74, still working, and loves it. Because we were talking to the boat captain, and he was saying, yeah, keep talking about retiring. I said, George, you've been talking about retiring for 20 years. And you know, it's hard work. It's manual labor. And, you know, we were talking, and I said, you know, there must be some days when your whole body aches. He goes, yeah, that's just about every day. And then he asked me, he goes, does your jaw ever hurt? I said, yeah, nice one. But, you know, you think about that mentality of Pete Buttigieg, and he's going to, you know, focus on skin color. When it comes down to it, I'm just wondering who in the future will do those jobs. You know, I mean, it's day in, day out. Talking to the mail carrier a couple of weeks ago. And I said, man, I was feeling for you guys. It was a nice, cool day. And I said, I feel for you guys in the summer, though. He goes, yeah, last summer was really bad. And I said, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And you guys are walking on our street. They don't deliver to a mailbox on the street. They walk house to house. So they park at the end of the street, and then he carries his bag house to house. And I said, you know, it's just crazy. And that's what you look at. To me, I'm grateful for, and I think that was Mike Rowe's point on dirty jobs. I'm grateful that there are people out there that do the job. And yeah, the mail carrier told me, he goes, man, I love the job. The benefits are great. And I do get exercise. He said, you know, this is tons of exercise, and I'm able to stay in shape that way, but I do love the job.
You know, I remember and I've talked about this movie before. It's called The Ultimate Gift, and the Hallmark Channel shows it now.
I just saw someone. It came up as a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Where was it? Somewhere, and it was, and I watched the preview, and it was like, I said, that's it. That's the movie.
That's James Garner. James Garner, Brian Dennehy is in it.
Yeah.
And it's, again, James Garner is this, you know, he dies in the movie.
Yeah.
He dies.
Right.
And he's got a grandson. And I'm not going to give the whole thing away, but he's got a grandson who's a rich, spoiled kid.
Yeah.
And gets whatever he wants. And it's, you know, they're reading the will, and, you know, he gives very little to anybody there, and the grandson, who's probably in his younger 20s, you know, thinks he's getting nothing. They call him back in and goes, no, you have a, and he goes in and watches a video, and basically they're going to give him a number of tests. And one of the tests is they send him out to Brian Dennehy's farm, who's this guy who owns thousands of acres, but knew his grandfather. And you could tell these are people that work their whole lives.
Yeah.
And loved the challenge of working, and we're still working.
Yeah.
And so he has to go out and build this fence. It takes like a month to do. And he does it, you know, builds this fence, all miles and miles of fence by himself. And he's supposed to get, you know, after it, he was told you're going to get, you know, you'll get the rewards, you'll get a gift. And so he was done with it. And he asked Brian Dennehy, I'm supposed to get something. Where's the gift? And Brian Dennehy just laughs and drives away. And it's great the way he does it. And he goes back and James Garner says, you got your gift. You don't even know it. It's the gift of work.
Right.
And that always had a big impact on me because I've always viewed, and most people don't view it that way. Most people view work as something that I have to do the things that I wish to do in life. And at times it can be that way. Mm-hmm. But I know from the very beginning, I never should have ended up being a radio talk show host. Was not my dream at all. Mm-hmm. And it was not something, I've told the story before, everybody knows, I was forced to do it by a radio station owner. I did not want to do it. And I did my years of labor. I mean, I was a janitor. I did all that to begin with in high school and first part of college and then, you know, bill collector. And then after college, couldn't find a job, quit the bank, the radio job lasted a very short time. I sucked. I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing what my family did was, you know, the machining business for about, 3 to 4 years is what I did, like 78 to 82. And loved it. I mean, everything I saw as a challenge, even if it was hard, and there was a sense of pride, even though I had a college degree, there was a sense of pride of walking in and doing work on machines and actually building things. And
it's more tangible, but also it is, if you think about it, I think it's also part of our nature. I think it's part of our instinct.
Yeah. And not that I ever thought this is what I want to do the rest of my life. Because I always thought someday I'd like to get back into radio, and I did. By eight, in fact, it was 40 years ago next week that I got back in. Now, I was in radio for a year, so it's a total of 41 almost, so coming up in a couple of months. But it was...
But the first year, you sucked, so you don't count that one.
I don't count that. And this is all commercial radio. I don't count anything but... radio that I got paid for. I didn't count college radio and stuff like that. Your career is what you get paid for. But I got back in March of 83 and haven't been out since.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because all of those jobs that I did were hard work, but the hardest job I've ever had is the job that's now the easiest job I've ever had because I've done it for 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And you become trained in doing it, and this is what I think in so many different careers, once you do it every day, it doesn't become the same kind of, oh, I have to go in. Because there were days early on in talk radio, you're terrified. Mm-hmm. What am I going to talk about? Oh, my gosh, I'm on these big radio stations. I'm not prepared. I can't do it. And then you do it, as David Lee Roth said.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get nervous when you get on stage? No, I've done it over 30,000 hours.
Right.
I'll never forget when he said that. Because after 30,000 hours, it becomes a part of who you are. That's actually true. It does. And even though you're putting in the same amount of work, you're so used to doing it that there's an enjoyment to it. But talk radio was the hardest job. And because people don't think it is. They go, oh, you're on the radio, just talking the radio. No, that's the hardest job ever.
Yeah, when David Lee Roth was talking about that, he learned it from a sensei or a guru. And he said, when he was taught that's when, and we know this, maybe we didn't measure it the same way, but as a society, we know it as you get into a field and then the more experience you gain, the more passion you have for it. A lot of that passion comes from the fact that you have learned how to do it and you know how to solve the puzzle. It's not that every job
point.
Is solving a puzzle, but you know how to do it and put it together. And it is measurable in certain jobs. My wife works in finance. I know a lot of people in construction but you can measure certain things, or certain things are more tangible. Not every job is that way, but it is that puzzle you're solving every day, and you have the answers already built in to your mental playbook. Those are the skills that, drive a free society, a productive society as
well. And I didn't know it back then, but I know it now, that if my life had not gone in this direction and something that I was forced to, in a job that I really did not like for probably the first 10 years, I was looking, is there any out of this? But people kept paying me money to do it. Then they kept paying me more money. It's like, okay. And then to the point where I am now, where I can't imagine a better job. But I also know because of that experience, if my life had gone in another direction, whatever I was in today, I would have the same passion for.
No, I think that's it. You build that passion with that experience,
yeah,
because that passion, in part, is your ability to do that job and do it well based on that experience. So, you know, that's what drives it. Because if you're in anything for that long, that means you're pretty good at it. You can do that job. You're experienced enough to be able to accomplish what that job requires. Otherwise, you don't stay in that field.
it's funny. I just told you about, you know, a year ago or 40 years ago next week. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I think this weekend I was starting to drive to Florida, mm-hmm, for, you know, staying in radio from that Fort Walton Beach is where I, you know, where my second radio job was. Mm-hmm. But, and it was funny because my buddy Jerry just texted me and I had called him about 2 weeks ago and I said, you know, this is the day that you came over to my house to get a submarine. You came over to my house to have lunch and you went out to get a sub. And I said, and I was waiting for the call. And he told me, he said, you're going to get the call from that station in Fort Walton Beach and you're going to be in radio. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. He goes out to get the sub. I get the call. He comes back. I got the call. I got the interview next week. So he just texted me. He's listening in Tampa, Florida right now and just said, I went to get the sub. So, so you never know what direction it's going to go in. But I know now, as somebody in their very young 60s, that no matter which direction I would have gone, if I would have stayed in machining, I would have been an engineer.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have stayed in machining. I would have wanted to advance up to an engineer or whatever.
Learn more about the process and advance accordingly. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, my dad drove a truck after his military career, and he drove for a pharmaceutical company. And he delivered to pharmacies and hospitals. But the reason that he was qualified for that job is that you had to have, they wanted people with law enforcement background that favored that job because it is such a valuable load every single day. And his police experience, he was a police in the military, and his police experience over the years trained him for that job very well. His protocol in his mind, as he entered the pharmacy and came in and, you know, through the bay door or through the back door, wherever he brought those loads in, that trained him all along to do that second career.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it well.
866-90 Red Eye.
Will the nation's farm sector generate yet another record amount of net income in 2023 as it's done the last 2 years?
No. But the expectation is it will still be an above-average year.
USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer telling the USDA Outlook Forum he expects net cash farm income this year to be $150.5 billion. That would be down almost 23% from this last year's record. Factors for the decline include
commodity prices falling, input prices rising but slower, government payments pulling back from those pandemic payments.
Meyer says, of course, when you boil it all down,
for a producer, what's going to matter here is how do your input prices follow those output prices down. That's going to be key.
Right now, analysts expect fuel expenses to fall by about 15%, rents by 8%. Expenses for most everything else, though, expected to increase. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, we had talked yesterday and a little bit today about Andrea Mitchell on NBC mm-hmm. and the lie she told about Ron DeSantis that, you know, he doesn't want slavery taught, and she's just been eviscerated for it. And so she came back and said, well, I was imprecise in it, but he doesn't want to teach what many educators and teachers feel is a critical part of which is, of course, critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand what the concept that we disagree with on critical race theory, and I think most Americans do, is that white people are almost genetically inclined, because the culture is so great, it's just the same as genetics, that they'll always be racist. So society should be set up that way, and blacks will always be victims, and whites will always have the mindset of oppressors.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, talking about, Andrea Mitchell and the fact that the DeSantis administration has said, sorry, we're done with NBC. Unless she apologizes, nothing on MSNBC, none of our people on MSNBC or NBC at all. Complete and total boycott until she apologizes. Because she was interviewing the vice president and asked the question with the statement of fact that, you know, what do you think about Governor DeSantis being against teaching slavery in schools? Now, that has been debunked over and over and over again. We all know the part of critical race theory that DeSantis disagrees with, that we disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pointed it out again, that whites are culturally racist to the point where it's almost in their DNA. They'll never get rid of it. And therefore, all whites are racist.
Yeah, right.
And so society must be set up. The entire structure of society must be set up that racism is inherent in all whites and you can never change it. Right. That's, you know, you can have that as a theory. It's a theory built on zero evidence.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you can have it as a theory. That is not the history of slavery or black history. And that's the point DeSantis is trying to make, and it's very, very simple. But the point is with, you know, a little over a year and a half now before we have another election.
Hmm.
Members of Congress, Senate, the House, the presidency. The Democratic Party is getting to the point of lying about things that everybody knows is a lie because it's so self-evident that it's a lie. And that's where I believe things have changed over the last 5 or 6 years. Let me give you an example. A lie used to be, for example, we're going to raise the minimum wage and it will have no effect whatsoever. Hmm. In fact, people will have more money and it'll actually boost the economy. Versus, and they would say, and Republicans are lying because what they're saying is raising the minimum wage will actually hurt.
Hmm.
And then Republicans would bring out and say, well, no, here's how it goes. And then the CBO would even come out and say, no, if you're going to raise the minimum wage, it is going to slow down the economy and fewer people are going to have jobs because that's the way that economics works.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about economics, not at the theory of economics, but studying economics by, okay, this thing happened. What happened in the economic system when you raised the cost? When you added incentive or disincentive, what happens? And it's always the same. And so that's the evidence that most conservative capitalists would point to. And we have accused the other side of saying, no, you're living in the wish land and you're only covering part of the economics, that person that got that raise will immediately have a little bit more money and you're not adding into the economic equation that somebody has to pay that particular cost so that money isn't available to them. And they would say, you know, scream, you're lying. No, you're lying. And so you're talking about studying the economic history and you're talking about projecting it out into the future. And so you can have that argument back and forth and people would take it. And I believe there's a much stronger case based on evidence for what happens when you raise prices and economics based on history. But that would be it. But it would sort of get lost in there. Well, now it's the border's a mess and the border's secure. It's self-evident to Americans that that is not the case. The Chinese balloon was no threat whatsoever. You see the polls that we brought you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The American public didn't believe that by landslide numbers. Why? It's self-evident that a Chinese spy or a Chinese spy balloon coming over, even if you say we were able to technically disable it, you're not really sure if you did, and the American public isn't sure, which is why you should have shot it down, because you're really not sure what the technology is. So the public didn't buy into that. Public doesn't buy into the fact that Buttigieg didn't go to East Palestine because he didn't want to interfere with the NTSB. Because most people know, well, you can have different agencies and different heads go there without interfering on anything. The fact that you're saying you would interfere is actually an indictment that you're doing something stupid, Buttigieg. So you get all these things. We'll use the last example. The Republicans are having the hearings in Yuma, Arizona, on the border city to talk to people about the problems with the Biden administration and they're allowing illegal immigration into this country and asylum and their asylum rules and regulations. And Democrats say, well, we're not going to go because we weren't giving any advance notice on this. And it's easy to find out. Well, no, we advised you 3 weeks ago. Here's the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pretty self-evident to Americans. You're lying. And that, I think, is the point that we're getting to where it is the lies. When things are self-evident, when everybody just knows it, immediately, there doesn't have to be any thought. Well, in economics, the minimum wage, okay, what actually happens? Let me research a little bit. You don't even need that. It's evident. It's self-evident. It's a lie. And so I want to play another audio cut because this was from MSNBC on February 1st. This is where they go over the top and tell lies that the American public knows are not the truth. And this is, Nicole Wallace, I guess, her show. She has on MSNBC political contributor Jason Johnson talking about critical race theory, talking about DeSantis and more. And listen to this. Here we go. All right.
Well, that's if everybody in the country wants that, Nicole. There are lots of people who are perfectly happy with black people being murdered on a regular basis. Let's be honest. Like, they're happy to see black people be killed. and it, or bare minimum, I think the most charitable interpretation is black people being killed to them, to politicians like Ron DeSantis, to politicians like Cameron in Kentucky. Black people being killed is just the cost of doing American business. So they don't care about not teaching people about that. They don't care about teaching the actual history of this country. And they don't care if students develop empathy for each other.
Is any of that accurate?
No.
It's a complete lie. And most Americans can see through that and know that it's a complete lie. Again, what Ron DeSantis doesn't want to teach about slavery. That's a lie. To politicians like Ron DeSantis, black people being killed is just the cost of doing American business. I'll tell you this, I can have a better case, a case that is infinitely better that the liberal black leadership and the Democratic Party, black people being killed is just the cost of doing business to consistently have chaos in your city and propose liberal solutions. And I'll simply say this, defund the police, no bail, release people from prison, lying about the people that are in prison today, not wanting people in the inner city that are law-abiding citizens to be armed, not wanting school choice. Oh, you see New York City, Kathy Hochul? In New York City, there's school choice now. Hochul's actually pushing it. It's half the cost of the public schools and half the cost of public schools and doing a much better job. But they don't want that. They want the monopoly. They want the power to control. I can make a much better argument. They can't make an argument at all against DeSantis. We can make an argument off the top of our heads that they don't care about black lives.
Oh, easy.
And so when it becomes so self-evident that they have to go way over the top, and what happens is since they can't make their points, and since their points are being refuted by fact, they have to make the lies even bigger and louder and more outrageous. The Republican Party just wants to bring back slavery. They're happy to see black people killed. Where's this evidence? It doesn't exist.
Well, it sounds like a teenager who has just been grounded screaming at their parents. You don't love me. You just hate me. I mean, they sound like children. Because the only way for them to get attention is to say something that over the top. What they don't realize is that that comes back and reflects on them immediately. Nobody believes that. Are there people that believe Republicans don't work in the interest of minorities? Well, the Democrats have shaped that narrative for a long, long time. But we're taking this so many steps further that Republicans are okay with black people dying being murdered.
Here's the latest from Johnson the other day. I have it, I think it was yesterday. I'm not being incendiary when I say this. I've been saying this for a long time, Stephanie. There is no Republican Party. They're a dime store front for a terrorist organization. Is there any evidence of that whatsoever? No.
The good thing is he doesn't use hyperbole. Ever. And neither do I. Ever. Our billions of listeners know that.
But this is the debate that's going to be going on for the next, you know, Democrats, we can't argue this. We can't show up to the immigration hearings in Yuma, Arizona, because we can't make a case. All right, send out the sharks on MSNBC to make totally over-the-top insane allegations against the Republicans, Ron DeSantis and Trump and whatever.
Right.
And we won't use any type of specific evidence to back it up. In fact, we'll take things that people know, the majority of people know, aren't true, and we'll just say it louder and more often, and we'll be able to change their opinion somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to.
Well, no, because they're not convincing anybody. Look, okay. Any person with any level of critical thinking skills listens to this kind of garbage and says, I'm sorry, but that's insane.
I know.
In fact, if I were on the left, I would look at it and say, okay, can you not go out there and do the work for the party? Because you're sounding like an idiot, which does not help our side. You're not going after, you're not fighting for the things I want you to fight for. You're making insane comments, which gets you nowhere.
Here's a question I'd like. A focus group on normal Democrats, what do you want from your party? And line out everything that they're about right now. Do you agree with going on at the border? Do you actually believe that solar and wind can run the entire energy grid?
Yeah.
Now, ask, get away from the media people, but one thing you don't see, and I don't see it on social media. All of my Democrat friends and or acquaintances, maybe more acquaintances, but no, a lot of people that are friends, they are, since Obama's been out of office and Trump has been out of office, they are completely silent. Nothing is coming from them.
I would love to get a list of their top 10 complaints about their party. Complaints.
Yeah.
The creators of the Android phone, they gave it away for free to a group of people, and they said, we want your feedback every day, but nothing positive. We want to know what you hate about this phone. I'd love to know what Democrats rank and file hate about their party right now.
By the way, Republicans are always saying what they hate about their party.
Oh, we have a list.
Republicans are very vocal about what they don't like.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Progressive Commercial Insurance protects truck owners with specialized coverages for heavy trucks. Get a quote in as little as 5 minutes.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, a new phrase.
Yeah.
Here it is. Trudeau to press Biden on New York-Quebec border as migrants flow in. The first line here from Bloomberg. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he and Joe Biden will discuss stemming the flow of irregular migration.
Irregular.
So, irregular. Yes.
He can't say illegal? Is it illegal or is it not illegal? It's just more than normal?
It's... There's so many places to go with irregular, right?
Yeah, right.
No. I mean, there's just so many places to go.
Right. Maybe some Raisin Bran in the morning? I don't know. What is he talking about is the question.
That may be better than temporary displaced traveler that California came up with a couple of years ago.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.